You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Now, of course, one of the things that I find, and I think is true, that very often dads who've been very busy building their career, they want to spend time with their children, and so they want to shift their lives so they can, in fact, spend more time with the children, and they feel that the wife is not going back to get the job that she's been trained for or could easily get a job that paid more money, but she's not doing it simply because, you know, she wants more alimony. Now, I often get the question from women, well, I shouldn't go out to work now because, you know, I will get less alimony. Well, I guess it depends on our basic philosophy, but it seems to me that anyone who is able to be self-supporting should be. Also, of course, that the woman who doesn't take the job, she runs the risk of more income being imputed to her. So that's another issue to think about. Frankly, one of the things that I like to find out is if the homemaker, spouse, husband or wife, doesn't really want to go back to work, what do they want to do? And I don't think it's enough to say, well, I'll just sit here. What will they do in order to enhance their education, for example? And that is very important. So if you have the person, and I've had this case, where the wife was able to go back to Raritan in the nursing program. So she, in I think either three semesters or four, was able to get a degree in nursing from Raritan. So that was great, because then she could go out and actually earn more money than we thought she'd be able to earn. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration based on all the circumstances of the case. And that's why I don't want to say it's a pet peeve, but certainly it's unfair if someone comes up to me and says, well, you know, tell me, blah, 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 now what's the answer? Because there's so many variables that go into whether or not there's going to be alimony, the amount of alimony, the duration of alimony, and they're all very specific. And it's hard enough to guess after you have all the information, because then, of course, what's not in the mix is the judge, and we don't know what the judge is going to do. So I'll be back after a short break, and we'll talk more about this.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I agree. They are trophies and a whole lot more. I was able to get a Chicago Blackhawk sweatshirt made up there, or t-shirt actually, made up there a few weeks ago. They did a great job, and, you know, had to wear it to the Devils game, where, of course, my Blackhawks lost. But they're, you know, really helpful if you have any stupid questions, such as I did. So let's hear from someone else, and then we'll be back with a few more comments.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, and I think one of the tips that he gave recently was about ProTech and a toolkit set to repair gadgets. And I think that was something he actually recommended, if I recall. So that's a good program to listen to get great advice on tech tips. So back with what we're.
Good afternoon, Hunterdon County, Flemington, and all the other towns here in Hunterdon County. I'm Bill Wolfson, and welcome to the Sports Guys. We're missing Pat Smits today because Pat is out, not feeling very well. We're waiting for John Manfreda to show up, and we're expecting Ken Milstrade. But while we're waiting for them, let's go hear some news.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. There's a verdict in the Dean Stelos political corruption case. The former New York State Senate leader and his son were found guilty on all counts of bribery, extortion, and conspiracy charges. Stelos automatically loses his Senate seat, ending a 30-year Senate career. Both he and his son face a maximum sentence of up to 130 years in prison. A New York representative is calling on more surveillance of Muslims.
New York Representative Peter King has told reporters there needs to be surveillance of the Muslim community in ways that have been successful in the past for law enforcement.
The only way you're going to find out this in advance is to do the same type of 24/7 surveillance that was done in the Italian-American communities when they're going after the mafia, and the Irish communities when they're going after the Westies. You look where the terror threat is going to come from, and right now it's going to come from the Muslim community.
King added law enforcement is being intimidated into not using that approach. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Warning, if you or a loved one are struggling with drugs and alcohol, there's something you need to know. Thoughts like, I can stop anytime. I'm not hurting anyone. It's my life are lies. These lies cause you to drink or get high even when you've promised yourself or someone else you wouldn't. You may feel all alone, but you're not. We're here to help. Take the first step. Call us today at 800-461-3329 for a free, no-obligation assessment. Your insurance may even cover the full cost of treatment. Please don't wait. Call 800-461-3329. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Call American Drug Treatment Centers to speak with our trained staff. We'll walk you through getting yourself or a loved one into treatment even if they won't admit there's a problem. The truth is, drugs and alcohol want you dead. Don't let them win. One simple call will start you on the road to recovery. Call 800-461-3329 now. It will be the best thing you ever do. Call 800-461-3329. 800-461-3329.
A disturbing story out of Ohio. The state's Attorney General Mike DeWine says Planned Parenthood clinics in his state are improperly disposing of aborted fetal remains in landfills.
For Columbus Planned Parenthood, the Cincinnati Planned Parenthood, the fetuses from both of these facilities first are steam cooked, then they are taken to a Kentucky landfill.
DeWine said today an investigation by his office revealed the violation of state codes that require disposal in a humane manner. The Republican AG called the practice callous and completely inhumane. DeWine said while no criminal charges can be brought, he's filing an injunction against Planned Parenthood affiliates in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Bedford Heights to halt the practice. Presidential candidate Ben Carson is threatening to leave the Republican Party. Carson released a statement after reports that Republican National Committee officials met to discuss preparations for a possible brokered convention in Cleveland. Carson said that party leaders risk destroying the GOP with such meetings. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Dow Chemical and DuPont are merging to create the world's largest chemical company. More on that from USA's Tammy Rose.
Dow DuPont will be the name of the new $130 billion company. The plan is to split it up into three new publicly traded companies, an agriculture company, a material sciences company, and a specialty products company. DuPont CEO Edward Breen will become the new CEO of Dow DuPont. Dow Chemical CEO Andrew Lavaris will be the company's new chairman. Dow and DuPont say the merger will save them at least $3 billion over the next 2 years. I'm Tammy Rose.
The defense in the trial of a Baltimore police officer accused of involuntary manslaughter for the death of Freddie Gray has rested, and the jury is excused until next week. Gray's death in April triggered unrest over police brutality that eventually led to riots in the city. Officer William Porter is the first of several Baltimore cops to face trial on charges connected to Gray's death. Prosecutors say Porter was negligent for failing to seatbelt Gray in a police van and ignoring an immediate request for a medic when Gray indicated he was hurt. High school cheerleaders suffer concussions more than any other injury. That's what a new study reveals. The study directed by the University of Colorado notes that high school cheerleading has evolved from a sideline activity at games to a competitive sport. It says cheerleading accounts for about 2/3 of all serious injuries to high school girl athletes over the past 25 years. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Well, that's our news. Let's talk about the weather. It's certainly nice and warm out there. What do we have? Right now it's 55 degrees. The wind speed is almost zero. It's almost dead calm. We are expecting a little fog tonight after 3 in the morning for those of you night owls who want to be up and catch the fog. Then we've got Saturday. We're going to see a little bit of sun, high near 63, west wind about 5 miles an hour, becoming calmer in the morning. There's going to be patchy fog Saturday night, otherwise partly cloudy. Sunday is going to be a nice day, a slight chance of showers after midnight Sunday night, but Sunday we're supposed to see beautiful weather with a high near 67 and a very light wind. There's a chance of precipitation Sunday night. And Monday, just in time to go back to work, going to rain mostly after 11 o'clock, so we've got a pretty good weekend. Kind of funny weather for December. Hey, maybe some of that global warming stuff is true. So instead of global warming, let me talk to you about one of my heroes. You know I love hockey, and you know that I'm always fond of some of the characters in hockey, and I wanted to talk a little bit today about one of the true characters, Don Cherry is a Canadian ice hockey commentator for the Canadian Broadcasting Company. You'll always see him on Hockey Night in Canada. His claim to fame is Coach's Corner, where he joins with Ron McLean for the very long-running show of Hockey Night in Canada. He wears outrageous, flamboyant clothes. He is famous for his outspoken manner and his very, very staunch Canadian nationalism. Don Cherry only played one game in the NHL, and that was with the Boston Bruins, but he was a defenseman in the American Hockey League for almost 13 or 14 years. He had a 20-year career in the minor leagues back in the 50s and the 60s, and he's presently 81 years old and lives up in Kingston, Ontario, which, if you've ever been up there, is a pretty nice town. He is famous for a made-for-TV movie called Keep Your Head Up, Kid, which is his story, written by his son, Tim. And there's a sequel on the CBC called The Wrath of Grapes. His nickname when he was a hockey player was Grapes. Don Cherry has an interesting background. His grandfather was one of the first members of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and also a Great Lakes ship captain after he retired from the Mounties. He is a very interesting character. His dad was a amateur athlete, played hockey, and worked for the Canadian Steamship Lines in the Great Lakes. Don Cherry played at Hershey for the Hershey Bears in the 50s and the early 60s. And he claims that during his minor league career, he and his wife moved 53 times, never had decent housing or furnishing, and often was away. He missed the birth of both of his children, and he has had a very interesting career and interesting life, playing in the minor leagues in hockey, and then as the coach of the Boston Bruins. He cut his teeth as a coach for the Rochester Americans and was promoted to head coach of the Boston Bruins. And they were coming off of a run of 2 Stanley Cups and 3 first-place finishes, but soon lost to my Philadelphia Flyers in the 74 Stanley Cup championship. So Don Cherry became their coach, and he quickly developed a reputation for being an eccentric, flamboyant guy. He strongly encouraged physical play, and he modeled the Bruins' playing style after that of his dog Blue. Blue was a very feisty bull terrier. When the team had previously been known for guys like Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito, highly skilled scorers and skaters, Cherry remade the team with enforcers and grinders, and they soon became known as the Lunch Pail Gang or the Big Bad Bruins. For a brief period of time, they were one of the best NHL teams in the late 70s, and they won a division title in 4 straight seasons, 75-76, all the way through 78-79. And he had 11 guys on the team in 77-78 with 20 goals or more. And he also won the Jack Adams Trophy. During the time he was the Bruins coach, they beat the Philadelphia Flyers twice in the playoffs. And they also made the Stanley Cup Finals twice, both times losing to the Montreal Canadiens, who were their arch rivals for years and years. Cherry then went on after he left the Bruins to coach the Rockies, who became our New Jersey Devils. He had some unique problems with some of his players. Under his tenure as a Rockies coach, the Rockies adopted the motto, "Come to the fights and watch a Rockies game break out." And they put these slogans all over Denver during the 79-80 season. His hiring as head coach immediately rejuvenated the Rockies' fortunes. He later admitted that his outspokenness and his feuding with Rockies general manager Ray Miron didn't endear him to the company owners and the team owners. He did much to motivate his players, but the goaltending was still a problem, as the general manager, Miron, refused to replace Hardy Anstrom, who Cherry liked to call the Swedish sieve. Cherry recalled one game where his players had gotten 10 shots on goal without scoring, but then Anstrom conceded a goal from the opponent's first shot, so he got yanked out of the net. Cherry didn't help things where, after watching defenseman Mike McEwen ignore him and refuse to come off the ice during the game, he reached over the boards and grabbed him and manhandled him to the bench, while Cherry subsequently traded him. When he was in Chicago, Lanny McDonald found himself at the center of another power struggle. When the Toronto Maple Leafs traded him to Colorado, Cherry, who was sympathetic to the fact that McDonald's wife was less than 2 weeks away from having a baby, he gave McDonald permission to leave the team and go be with his wife during the birth. However, when he got back, the GM, Miron, did not approve of McDonald's leave, which made Cherry's contract not get renewed. His career ended on a positive note when Colorado defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-0 in a final game of the season held at home. Years later, when talking about the 2001 Stanley Cup Finals between the Avalanche and the New Jersey Devils, these, remember, the Devils were used to be the Rockies, Cherry recalled the experience of the Rockies' last game where he was wearing cowboy boots, and as it ended, the Rockies players formed two lines with their hockey stick raised to form an arch so he could depart in style between them while acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. He also coached in St. Louis briefly. He managed to become one of the assistant coaches for Team Canada at the 1976 Canada Cup, and the 1981 World Championships in Gothenburg in Sweden. He owned a couple of minor league teams, and he's managed to have a good broadcasting career. Don Cherry also found a way to antagonize people over and over again. His commentary, if you ever listen to him on Hockey Night in Canada, will usually involve something called the hit of the week, meaning the best body check, or the drill of the week, because he used to give away cordless drills to hockey fans. Additionally, his commentary would be peppered with catchphrases like, "Hey, all you kids out there." He would also tout his favorite players, and he would air kiss some of his favorite players on the air. He was unique about anything about his commentary. On Coach's Corner, almost every week, he spends time saying, "Don't try to block a shot using your stick," because he thinks that this is going to cause deflections impeding the goalie's view of the puck. Two other favorites are the dangers of touch icing, a rule he blames for the end of Pat Peake's career, and the extremely sensitive rules about crease violations, which have since been relaxed. I can tell you that he's absolutely right about that. He also is critical about the two-minute penalty for following pucks into the crowd from a defensive zone. He praises hockey players who have great toughness. An example of this is when a Phoenix Coyote winger crawled off the ice after enduring a bone-shattering slap shot from St. Louis Blues defenseman Al MacInnis. Usually at the end of the season, his send-off words in recent years have been about NHL prospects entering the draft. His position is, unless a player is guaranteed to be selected in the first or second round, they should not physically attend the draft, reasoning that some players could be disappointed if they're drafted later than expected or not at all. He has some pretty unique political views. He once referred to a Finnish-born Winnipeg Jets assistant coach, whose first name was Alpo, as some kind of dog food. Another time, he made comments about his support of the 2003 invasion of Iraq by Canadian forces. And he ended up with a Hockey Night in Canada with a heated debate against one of his co-hosts over the Iraq War. He turned to his co-host, Ron McLean, and said, "Nobody cares about what you think. And, you know, Canadians are usually very polite to each other, but Don Cherry is an irrepressible man." Well, enough about hockey and enough about Don Cherry. And we've got a phone call. So let's see who we got here. Hang on. Bill Wolfson. Well, Ken, I hope I got you there. Let's see if we did this right. First button, let's say push the first button on the left on the box besides the phone. Okay, there we did it. Hey, Ken, can you hear me yet?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Let's see if we got you there. Ken, are you there?
I'm there. Are you there?
Okay, well, I'm going to put some headphones on so I can actually hear what you have to say.
Well, that's good. Have a lot
Ken,
of
you still there?
To say. I'm still
I
here.
I can just about barely hear you, Ken, so why don't we do this? I will play a commercial, and let's see if we can't get this show cooking.
Pump up the volume.
Okay, take it easy.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective. And you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, and this is Bill Wolfson. Thanks, Chris, for showing me how to use the phones. It's been a while since I've taken control here. Ken, are you there?
I'm here, Bill. You're multitasking. You're working the radio. You're working the phones. You're playing commercials.
You name it, I'm doing it. I'm cooking with gas right now. I got everybody giving me dirty looks because we had dead air. Ken, So Ken, how's football looking for you this week? I see that Pat's Green Bay Packers got a gift from the Arizona Cardinals last night when they beat Minnesota 23-20. But how's it look for your team?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still confident in the Giants. When I look at the NFC East, Bill, the Giants are tied for first with 4 weeks to go. So basically they have their destiny in their own hands because they still have a division game with the Eagles coming up at the end of the season. I think they have the best coach and the best quarterback. Those are the positives, Bill. Now, the negatives, besides the best coach and the best quarterback, they have a great wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr., and unfortunately, that's about all they've got. Their defense can't stop anybody. They can't run the ball. They're depending. I tell you what, everyone's criticizing Coughlin. He's got to go. This is his last season. Everyone's saying that. I look at it completely the other way. The Giants, I think, have one of the least talented teams in the NFL overall, the entire league. Yet, five of their seven losses, they were leading in the final minute of the game. They could very easily be 8-4, 9-3, even 10-2 if you really use your imagination.
Well, the Giants are not good closers, that's for sure.
Oh, my God, if they could close out. They would have this division clinched five times. They were leading in the last minute and they lost. It's incredible.
Well,
yet all that being said, they still have a chance. So beat Miami Monday and take it from there.
That's exactly right. When they play Miami on Monday, I know that Odell Beckham is going to be playing with one of his LSU buddies, another wide receiver who's a very talented guy in Miami and also in his second year. And Miami is probably a good match for them. I think they can win, and I think they will win in Miami on Monday night. We're getting the kind of weather up here, though, that makes me not think about football, makes me think more about baseball. But let's continue on. I know the Jets are playing the Titans, and that's at 1 o'clock, and I'm interested in how the Jets' defense is going to stop Marcus Mariota, who can certainly throw the ball. I know they want to try to keep him in the pocket. He's also a threat to run. So they want to force him to throw, and hopefully the Jets, who have an excellent secondary, surprisingly good, may very well be able to keep the Titans out of the end zone, at least through the air. What do you think?
I think the Jets have an opportunity to make their mark this weekend. This is a game they should win. They're a better team than the Titans. And coming off, a couple of back-to-back wins, they could make this three in a row and really make a mark. Because so often in the past, Bill, the Jets have gotten to this type of game and they've stumbled.
They've lost
the game that they should win. I think this is the one that they can really make their mark. They either go 8-5 and really put themselves in a good position to make the wild card, or they go back to 7-6 and now they're running with the pack and hoping for the best the rest of the season. I think they'll win this game.
That's right. And, their biggest competition for that wild card spot are the Pittsburgh Steelers, who've been playing some pretty good football.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger's been really hot lately. It seems like he's either injured or having a great season, sometimes both. I guess that's the case this year. Should be a great game. Cincinnati, I think if the season ended today, Cincinnati would have the home field in the AFC overall.
I think so, too.
So they have something to play for. They want that home field, and they want a first-round bye and everything that goes with that. And yet Pittsburgh is in a position to be the first or potentially the second wild card, so they have a lot to play for also. I think that could be one of the one or two feature games of the week.
I think you're right there. We know that there's going to be some excellent, interesting football at 4 o'clock when Green Bay hosts the Dallas Cowboys at Lambeau. I'm predicting a Packer win just because I think Dallas is such a banged-up team, and they have literally the worst record in the NFC East, or at least as we like to call them.
Right.
Do you think there's an upset in the making there?
No, I think this is the time of year. We're in week 14. I think this is where the good teams and the championship caliber teams separate themselves. Kind of like I was mentioning with the Jets, they should beat the Titans. The Packers should beat the Cowboys. They're at home. They're at Lambeau. They're in first place in their division at 8-4. Dallas is 4-8. They're the worst team in the NFC least. And they don't have their starting quarterback, Tony Romo. This is where the Packers really put the hammer down, grab a firm hold on first place in their division, and finally, once and for all, knock the Cowboys out. It's embarrassing that they're 4-8, and they're in the division race. They're 4-8, and they're only one game out. Enough already. I don't want to talk about the Cowboys anymore.
No, I don't either. I always say the Cowboys are not my favorite team. Yeah, we have another interesting game coming up, and that's Bills-Eagles, 1 o'clock at Sunday also. The Eagles, as you know, are a team filled with controversy. I think this controversy is more stirred up by the press than it actually is by the team. The Eagles, like the Giants, have been disappointing this year. DeMarco Murray is not happy that he's not being used as much as he feels he should be. Chip Kelly apologized to Shady McCoy, who he traded away to Buffalo in return for Kiki Alonso, who is not working out for them. He's been injured. So it's going to be a strange game, and it's a strange opportunity for the Eagles to try to show that they really have some juice left in the season. The other interesting game for me is the Redskins being hosted by the Chicago Bears. I think the Redskins are going to lose this game, and I think it's going to give the Giants on Monday night a chance to really separate themselves from the pack. Your take on that one?
You know, those are both interesting games because the Eagles are a Jekyll and Hyde team. They get blown out literally three games in a row. They give up 40 points, and they don't even look like an NFL team. Then they turn around and beat the Patriots, and now they have a chance. And it's kind of like Chip Kelly's kind of in the same position as Tom Coughlin. The media is absolutely assaulting him and everything that he does, and yet there he is tied for first place. So I don't know what to make of that game. And, of course, on the other side, you have Rex Ryan coaching Buffalo, and they're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team themselves. I can't get a good handle. Is Buffalo a good team? Do they have a good defense? Do they have a good – I don't know. So that game is almost a toss-up. Of course, I'm rooting for Buffalo to knock off the dreaded – and hated by all Giants fans, Philadelphia Eagles. And at the same time out in Chicago, I'm rooting for the Bears to take out the Redskins, and the Redskins are another team. They looked pretty good against the Giants the week before, and then last week the game against the Cowboys, they looked terrible. So what to make of that game, Bill? I wish I knew. If I was a gambling man, I'd stay away from both of those games.
Well, I'm not a gambling kind of guy, so I don't really bet these games. I'm not really that interested, and I get enough fun watching the games.
Right.
Any take on Patriots-Texans?
That's another, you know, some weeks the NFL schedule is very blah and lackluster, and some weeks almost every game has interest in it. And this is, you bring up a good point. That's another interesting game. I can't believe the Patriots would lose three games in a row.
I can't either.
I don't know when their last three-game losing streak was. I sure can't remember it. And the Texans' primary defensive player broke his hand in practice yesterday, so I think he may be obviously not in 100% shape, so I think it's going to be difficult for the Texans to win, even though they're playing at home. it's going to be difficult for the Texans to pull off a win against the Patriots.
Well, that's the 8:30 game, and that ought to be an interesting game Sunday night. I have family commitments Sunday starting at about 2 o'clock, so I'm not going to be watching much football, but I'm looking to be in my seat in front of my TV watching the Giants at Miami. I always like the way Miami plays football, and I like the whole vibe of that the Dolphins have down there in southern Florida. It's a great place to watch a football game if you've ever been down into Miami to see the Dolphins play. And, of course, they still have the Dolphin in the tank that goes nuts and does flips whenever the Miami Dolphins score a touchdown. So it's kind of a fun environment for people in southern Florida. Turning in a moment, let's turn for a moment to ice hockey. Rangers look like they're cooling off a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Bill, we talked about this a little bit last week, too. They had a 9-game winning streak, and as you know, in any professional sport, what happens when the losing streak ends? There's usually a negative streak that follows it, and the good teams have the ability to minimize the losing streaks and get back on a winning track again. The Rangers, if you go back a couple weeks, about 3 weeks, the last couple of the games in the winning streak, they didn't play that well, and the goalie Lundqvist won the games for them. So it's not really shocking that they've lost a few.
That's true.
And you know what? I think they're not. They had Martin Saint-Louis retired. They had a couple other players leave via free agency. They're adjusting to their new players. They were not going to obviously keep up the pace they were at 16-3. But I maintain that they're going to be in the hunt to make the playoffs. More than likely, will make the playoffs. Maybe they can make a move or two at the trading deadline to improve both their forwards and a defenseman, because I think they need a little bit of help in both areas to make them make a playoff push. And they got a game against Edmonton tonight. That should be a good game. Edmonton, young, up-and-coming team, playing at home, should be an entertaining game.
Well, it certainly should be. And the other game that I call a marquee game is Philadelphia at Dallas. Now, you know I'm a diehard Flyers fan, and the Flyers are 5-1-1 over their last 7 games. I accept your apology. And the Philadelphia Flyers are another one of these up-and-coming young teams. They suddenly found good goaltending in Robert Nyberg, who has replaced Steve Mason as the go-to goaltender. Additionally,
is Mason hurt, or has he just been playing as well as Nyberg?
I think Mason has been hurt. I think he's struggling to get over an injury that they're not telling us everything about. Mason also doesn't seem to be seeing the puck real well. So I'm always a little concerned when I see the guy who's supposed to be your number one goalie slide, and your number two goalie pick up a slack, because that creates what I call the artificial goalie controversy that the press loves. Because remember, this is a team. These guys are playing in tandem. They're both pretty good. I will tell you that Nyworth did give up a very soft goal to New Jersey last Friday night when he didn't press his leg against the post, and somehow the puck managed to find its way in despite that. But I noticed that in the game against St. Louis, Nyworth's technique was much better. He was strong all the way through the game. Philadelphia won that game 4-2 against a St. Louis club that in the first and second period outshot them. But strangely enough, the Flyers outplayed them. Very weird tie game that the Flyers had with the Islanders, where they lost in overtime or the shootout, I forget which. The Flyers outplayed the Islanders, who have suddenly gotten a little brown around the edges, but found a weird way to win in the shootout when they were in Philadelphia. So we're seeing some funny things going on with the Flyers. They've gotten to be a better team. They're a lot tougher on the puck. They've got all 5 guys on the ice playing as a team, and they're seeing a lot of help on defense from Gotis Behar, who has been everything everyone expected and then some. I didn't think he would have as many goals as he does right now. He's got 4 goals in 11 games, and he's been up. And I'm just hoping that he doesn't get hurt, although because he did take a bad one on the chin last night in St. Louis. Faceoff is 8 o'clock down in Dallas, and I'm hoping to get home and watch that game.
I think Dallas, Bill, I think they have the most points of any team in the NHL, so that should be a good game. The Flyers have been playing better. Devil game you referred to, that's a game you attended last week, am I right?
That's right. John Manfreda was good enough to take me to that game. We had a blast. The New Jersey Devils kept tying the game, and the Flyers finally pulled it out with a shot by Matt Reed in overtime. I like the three-on-three. That's pretty exciting. And lots of scoring chances, lots of opportunities for mistakes, and it certainly is a lot better than just watching the shootout.
You know, Bill, you make a point, and I think the NHL needs to do something about the way they settle the ties. I like the 3-on-3; it's very exciting in an era where 5-on-5 scoring is really at a minimum. Most goals are power. You know, so many goals now, 40% of the goals in the league are power play goals. So the 3-on-3 really opens it up and makes it exciting. But here's my problem. You have a tie game, 2 points to the team that wins in either the overtime or the shootout. The losing team gets a point. In a regulation game, the winning team gets 2. The losing team gets 0. So the game that ends in a tie is literally worth 50% more in the standings than a game that ends in regulation. Makes no sense. They have to value them the same way. The way to rectify that is regulation win, team gets 3 points. Overtime or shootout win, team gets 2 points. Overtime or shootout loss, team gets 1 point. And a regulation loss, team gets 0. That way, all games are valued the same. Somebody, you know, there's going to be 3 points awarded in every game. It really drives me crazy, especially when I watch, you know, as a Ranger fan, watching a game between the Devils and the Flyers. I don't want 3 points in that game because no one's really getting harmed in that game. They're both gaining on the Rangers in the standings. And I realize the Rangers play tie games too, don't get me wrong, but I think they should value all the games the same. Every game should be a three-point game, regardless if it's a regulation or it goes into an overtime or a shootout. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I think the NHL has some work to do there, but, you know, traditions die hard, especially in the National Hockey League. It's going to take both the Players Committee and the Owners Competition Committee to sort that out. And I can tell you that Gary Bettman, who has been the president and commissioner of the NHL for many years now, I think it's almost 20 years, needs to really urge his owners to rethink this, because I don't like the idea that you hang on for a tie and that's half as good as a win in regulation, or you hang on and you win in overtime and you only get a little bit of a benefit. You get 1 point because when you get down towards the end of the season, those points that you picked up in a tie or that you lost in overtime can really hurt you. And I want to be in a situation where I can get those 3 points. It's almost like in basketball. If you can make that outside jumper from outside right. The arc, that's worth something. And yep. If you can finish the game in regulation, you need those 3 points. Otherwise, you're not getting into the playoffs or you're playing for home ice advantage. That just makes it more desperate, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what I think too, Bill? The last 10 minutes of an NHL game, it's either a one-goal game or a tie game. You see both teams, especially if it's tight, both teams go into a shell. They figure, let's get the 1 point. Let's not do anything crazy and give up a scoring opportunity for the other team. Let's get the 1 point, and we'll roll the dice come the overtime and the shootout. And I think that's the attitude they've taken. Oh, my God, let's get the 1 point and hope for the two rather than be aggressive and getting potentially three. If 3 points were out there, you'd see the teams be going crazy at the end of the game to try to win the game. From a fan perspective, I think it would be much more exciting. And I think the fact that you get rewarded for a tie is what is partially leading to the lack of 5-on-5 scoring in the NHL right now, because they're just not motivated to score. They're motivated to prevent goals. They're not really motivated to create goals.
Well, it does take some of the excitement away. I think the best thing about hockey is how fast it's played and how exciting a game it can be. the athleticism of some of the players, their skating ability, their shooting ability is really what I want to see. And I like the high-scoring battles just as much as I like the low-scoring defensive battles. But the last 5 or 10 minutes of a game, there should really be play with a lot of urgency and the need to get those 2 points or 3 points if my suggestion is taken. I hope you're listening, Gary Bettman. But, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs for years and years would just play for a tie on the road and try to win games at home. And that's kept them from winning a cup since, I think, the 60s.
Right. And, you know, I think the other thing that's led to lack of scoring, I mean, there's more skill than ever. Like you pointed out, the game's faster than ever. The players are bigger, stronger, faster than they ever were. Back when we were growing up as kids, you could tell them, a defenseman from a forward. The defenseman with the big, slower guys.
Right.
He's not that fast. Put him on defense. Now, even though the overall skill level is so much higher than it used to be, the defensemen are just as skilled as the forwards. So they have the ability to prevent goals just as the offensive players have the ability to create them. It used to be there was a big difference in skill between the forward and the defenseman. That difference is gone. The defenseman, you know, revolutionized by Bobby Orr 50 years ago, the defensemen are just as skilled as the offensive players and have the ability to prevent goals just to the same extent as the offensive players do. So we need to give them more incentive to try to score more. I think that will be what results in more scoring in the NHL. I love the 2-1 game, but you watch 10 2-1 games in a row with not a lot of scoring chances, it's starting to remind me right now of the late 90s when they, all the coaches in the NHL were devising ways to, with the left wing lock and the different type of defensive postures to prevent goals. And I think that is not necessarily good for the fans.
Well, that's true. It takes a lot away. The one thing that you do when you don't have a lot of talent is you play a neutral zone trap, which the New Jersey Devils did very successfully and actually managed to win a couple of cups out of it because they were playing in front of Martin Brodeur, great goaltender, probably one of the best ever. I know he's a shutout leader in the NHL. But I think part of it was he had some really good defensemen in front of him. And the other part was when the good defensemen were not out on the ice, they played the neutral zone trap very, very well to the point where it was almost maddening because the other team couldn't get out of the neutral zone. They couldn't get into the Devils' defensive zone, and if they did, they had to get a really good shot on Brodeur and get him moving the wrong way. I noticed,
right,
too, now that having watched the Red Wings Montreal game the other night, which the Red Wings won, to my surprise, Montreal had a tremendous pair of breakaways, and the goaltender for Detroit managed to stop both of them with pad saves and a skate save. He actually had to make 2 saves on one of the breakaways. And to me, that was tremendously exciting. But what happened was that the Detroit defensemen were pinching because they were trying to break the tie. It was 2-2, and try to zip one past Carey Price. And they had a couple of good shots. They hit the post twice. But then Montreal came up the ice, and there was a tremendous save by Detroit. And then Detroit went back down and scored. So, you know, your point about defensemen and more defensive scoring is well taken. I think that's an important part of the game. It's often overlooked as we see more and more talented defensemen. They're very good at preventing goals, but they're not as good at scoring them. And I'd like to see more defensive scoring. That's why I'm so high on Gauthier, because he seems to know how to shoot the puck pretty well. He also has tremendous hockey sense. He made a pass to Claude Giroux the other night in St. Louis. Giroux managed to split both defensemen by stick handling between them and put one behind Tom Elliott, the St. Louis goaltender, and I was in awe. I just thought that was an absolutely amazing play.
I think there's no doubt that he is the future of Flyers hockey. I happened to see him the game before he got called up. I happened to see him play for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and he was definitely a standout in that game, and he's come up to the NHL and fit right in with the Flyers. I think he may be the biggest reason for their most recent surge, Bill. I don't think it's a coincidence that they started to play better when they called him up from Lehigh Valley.
I think he's the kind of guy that makes everybody around him better. I'm not really ready to call him the second coming of Bobby Orr yet, but he certainly is a great defenseman. What did you think of Sam Morin when you saw him play in Lehigh Valley?
Of who, I'm sorry?
Did you see Sam Morin, M-O-R-I-N, another defenseman, play at Lehigh Valley?
I did, but you know what? He didn't impress me. I'm not saying he played badly, but I didn't see him do anything that made him stand out above anybody else on the ice.
Yeah.
The opposing team had a couple guys. That was the Montreal AAA team from St. John's, Canada, that was there. They had a couple good players that are they've been called up to the NHL as well. And the Flyers had a couple guys that stood out. But I remember seeing him, but he didn't do anything notable, let's put it that way.
Nothing that stood out. How's the arena there? Did you like it?
It was tremendous. It's a mini NHL arena. All it's missing, really, is it doesn't have the upper deck, you know, the third level up top. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it is very much professional quality. I would recommend anybody that's a hockey fan and lives within, you know, decent driving distance of Allentown, go see the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. It's a guaranteed good time.
You know, the sports guys are sponsoring a trip there, hopefully for January 16th and again for February 16th when they'll be playing the Hartford Wolfpack, the New York Rangers farm team. And,
oh, that's a definite, Bill.
Oh, you're definitely coming? Bringing the whole family, the wife and the kids?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I think we're going to have a great time those two nights, and I'm hoping all of our listeners that like hockey or even just want to come out and see a game and then beautiful new arena will be able to come out and watch. Do you think that it's the kind of trip that would appeal to kids?
Absolutely. Very kid-friendly, very fair family-oriented atmosphere there in terms of, you know, the things they do between periods, the attractions that they have around, you know, in terms of food and whatnot for souvenirs. It's a perfect situation for a youngster, and it's something that you can take your family to at a reasonable price as opposed to going to New York or Philadelphia, where between travel and parking and tickets and concessions, you know, you need a some sort of a loan to make that happen.
Oh, you'll drop $200 for the night.
Yeah,
easy.
In Allentown, it's not that. You're getting all the amenities of a professional game without having to pay the price. And then if you really have a good time, then you can kind of, you know, I would say step up and go see the Rangers or the Devils or the Flyers or whatever you follow. But this is a great introduction to hockey from a family perspective.
Well, that's what I think also. I'm hoping to get to the arena over the Christmas holiday before our sponsored trips. And we're hoping that we can announce them and have a sign-up sheet and send that out to all of our chamber members and their friends and guests. Meanwhile, Ken, we're getting a little late in the hour. It's 5:53. We've got a few commercials to play. And then I'm going to be right back to you, if you don't mind. How's that, Ken?
Sounds good. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own.
Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. It's Bill Wolfson with Ken Millstreet. Ken, you still there? You still hanging in there?
I'm still here, Bill. I was just writing down a few phone numbers from the advertisements, but I'm all caught up now.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. For all of our listening audience out there, please patronize our sponsors. They're great people, and they'll take good care of you. Meanwhile, Ken, what do you think of the Mets trade? They just moved Nice.
I think it was necessary. You know, the Mets right now, they have the young pitching staff all under control for the next 2 or 3 years. Now is the time for them to leverage that, get some veteran players in that can get the job done right now. It's enough with bringing up prospects and hoping for the best. They got Neil Walker from the Pirates, veteran hitter, switch hitter, proven commodity at the plate, decent fielder. He's not a Gold Glove, you know, award winner, but he's an upgrade defensively over Daniel Murphy. I think Murphy's gone. I hate to see him go. He's been my favorite Met now for about 7 years. Had a tremendous postseason against the Dodgers and against the Cubs. But it's time for, you know, he'll probably end up in the American League where he can DH and be successful there. And at the same time, the Mets also signed a shortstop, Asdrubal Cabrera. Decent hitter, hit about 15 homers. That's what he'll do, hit 15, 16 homers a year. Again, not an all-star or a Gold Glove winner in terms of his fielding, but he'll, any ball that he gets to, he'll make the play cleanly. That's what they need. If you're going to build a team on pitching, you better have some defense to back it up. And that was the Mets' downfall against the Royals in the World Series, was their infield defense. I think with the bats of Walker and Cabrera, along with the gloves, I think they're improved. And I think they need to look at a couple other areas, maybe the bullpen, perhaps another outfielder, and they'll be, I think, in prime position to make another run at the World Series next season.
I think you're right. I like the pickup of Cabrera. I also like, I'm sorry to see Murphy go, but I think the fellow they got from Pittsburgh, who, by the way, is a Pittsburgh native, is he's going to nail down second base for them very well. And I think these are two guys that can turn a very good double play. And very bluntly, the Mets needed a defensive upgrade, and I think they have it.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, either of them have the ability, or either of them or both of them have the ability to play third base in the event something happens to David Wright. You know, he's got that back condition, which is not going away anytime soon. He's probably going to live with it the rest of his life. I don't think we can mark him down for, you know, probably more than 120 games, so they'll need somebody there. You know, especially in the worst case scenario, Wright really re-injures it. They need somebody solid at third base, and either of those guys can step in at third.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, the Yankees moved Adam Warren yesterday, and now the Yankees have a problem. Will their relief pitching hold up, and will their starting pitching hold up? They made the playoffs. They We're in the one game to see what would happen to the wild card team, but they didn't move on past that. So I think it's a rebuilding year for the Yankees. I was pleasantly surprised when they had a decent season and did get into the postseason, albeit for one game. So the Yankees have some work to do. The winter meetings have just ended, and now we're going to see the hot stove league really heat up. Your take, Ken?
You know, I'm a little curious. It looks to me, and maybe you're onto something, Bill, looks like the Yankees, unless they do something drastic, looks like they're punting the 2016 season.
I got that feeling.
Why would you trade your two best middle relievers? And apparently they're trading Andrew Miller. It looks like they're trying to gather some resources for two or three years down the road when people like Beltran and Teixeira are no longer on the payroll. You know, these guys are making $20, $25 million a year. I think the Yankees realize those contracts are an albatross. They're not going to win anything next year. Why not?